Dear AfterBuzzers, welcome to The Good Place Season 3, Episode 1. Everything is Bonzer, including with that word, because we have no idea what that word means. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
See, oh, we're dancing? Okay, we're doing
yeah.
it. We're happy. You know,
we
I got my,
to dance
my yellow
the place intro.
There you go. It's a good. Oh, and that's it. That is, you got all 8 seconds of deliciousness. Hey guys, my name is Funny. I'm Funny Sarai. My name is Sarai, and I have my beautiful hostess over here.
Hello, I'm Elena Jordan.
Nice, nice. And we're so excited to get into this episode for you. We have so many great things coming up. We're going to get into Chidi, to be or not to be is the question he cannot answer. Tahani, she finds peace in a hopeless place. And Jason, we're going to talk about he pops lock and drops it
yeah.
and then stops it. This is my, oh no, okay, maybe I should stop it. Later on, you guys, make sure you stay tuned because we're going to get into the special segment. We're going to talk about Chalk It Up to Chidi. Okay, we're going to get you guys ethics together. And a little bit extra special there, special treat we got, and we're going to hold it off, and you're going to see it coming up soon. And then we'll get into some news and gossip. And last but not least, we're going to do a little predictions.
Yeah.
So you guys, hang tight, you know? if you haven't used the restroom yet, just hold it, okay?
Just hit pause,
hold it. I think you should hold it, you know? Build up anticipation. How are you doing, Elena?
Good. I'm so excited about this season. This is looking so good. Just this first episode, I'm 100% on board. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
The writing alone has been crazy.
This is I honestly think this is the best comedy on TV right now because
hands
it is
down.
So perfectly written. The writers are genius and the production designer. Anybody who's seen any other show that I do for AfterBuzz knows how much I love puns.
Mm-hmm.
The production design team with these like subtle puns. Yes.
But you must really be eating up of this one.
I'm all about it.
I love what's going on. We're gonna jump into it. We're gonna get right into it. Chidi, to be or not to be is the question he still can't answer.
Yeah.
Chidi, so a little bit in this season, we get a little bit of flashbacks. So we're seeing how life was for a year on Earth, right? So Chidi, everyone seems to have like this whole life starting off where they're good, like they're good people, you know what I mean? They're no longer bad people, right? So anyways, Chidi starts off and he's basically decisive again. He meets him a little hot mama. Women will do that to you, fellas. He meets Simone. She sees something wrong with his brain. And now all of a sudden, she tries to fix him, right? He sees something wrong with his brain and now he can make decisions, right? What do you think about that? How we get into that?
I don't know if it really played out quite exactly like that cut and dry. Because it's Michael who's really trying to pull all the strings. Because we get the flashback of how last season ended, which was Michael deciding with the judge, look, if we're going to decide that these people are going to the bad place, last ditch effort, how about instead we just send them back to Earth and see what happens if we kind of mess with some things that he's not supposed to be messing with. He keeps coming back to keep altering things, almost getting caught. But I think, you know, it's cool to see Chidi in the situation where he almost gets hit by the air conditioner and his rationale isn't, oh, I spent too long making a decision and I almost died. It's, I don't need to use air conditioners anymore.
Exactly. Like, Freon is horrible for the universe. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you got out of it, Chidi? You deserved it. No, it's like, you deserve to get hit by the air conditioner. Like, you don't deserve the second chance. No, I love Chidi. And the other guy's like, wait, what do you mean? Like, he totally gets it too, so.
I'm into Henry too, telling him that, you know, basically having this conversation, saying things are going well for you. How do I get that? And then ultimately being put in the hospital from trying to work out, which that is my takeaway. Don't work out.
Yes.
Don't do it. No good will come from it.
Forget about it. Eat, just eat
took.
And live. Food was not meant to be looked at. It was meant to be devoured and enjoyed.
Nobody was sad with those muffins. It was only when you went to the gym that things went awry.
Exactly. You didn't know you were fat until you went to the gym and saw people that were skinny. That's all I have to say. Don't go to the gym.
What do you think about Simone and Chidi getting together instead of Eleanor and Chidi getting together? Because I know that's messing with Michael. Janet's all about it.
That's going to be a twist, I think, coming up. I don't want to get too much as predictions, but that's definitely going to be something there. Because at first, Eleanor, she's playing lovemaker. Chidi, we see Chidi, he's in the MRI. And instead of saying stuff like, you know, do you want blue or green, and make him make decisions. She's asking him stuff like, do you think Eleanor looks hot? You know, do you like the dress she's wearing? You know, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, does Simone look hot? You know, and he's sitting there like, wait, is this the right questions?
So, studying his ventromedial prefrontal cortex.
Can you say that again?
Ventromedial prefrontal cortex.
Now in Spanish.
Ventromedial prefrontal cortex. Olay.
Yeah, the first one was like hippocampus.
Your hippocampus.
I could totally get that.
Your
one.
Prefrontal cortex, though, because the ventromedial prefrontal cortex is what affects your decision making. But fun fact, your prefrontal cortex is the last part of your brain to develop, so that's why teenagers and young people do really kind of like what they say are dangerous things or things without looking for the consequences. It's because it hasn't fully developed, so your decision making is actually hindered if you have an underdeveloped prefrontal cortex.
Yeah, I think. Fun fact. I think my boyfriend has that. He's past a teenager age, but I think his... I'm going to tell him that. I don't know how to say that in an argument, but your prefrontal...
Your prefrontal cortex is messed up, brother.
You know?
Oh my gosh. Well, totally unrelated to prefrontal cortex, but talking about puns, when Chidi is trying to make his decision for the muffin, I lost it when Australia's bakery is called We Crumb From A Land Down Under.
Yeah, I saw you go crazy when as soon as we saw it, you like... And I was like, and I saw the pin going. I was like, oh, she totally got it. She totally got it. She's going to give it to you guys.
I love it.
I mean, it's, I don't know. So Chidi is basically with Simone, right? And I like it. You asked me earlier, do I think it's going to be something with Eleanor? Maybe down the line, but I think that him and Simone actually make a cute couple, and they're both nerds. Yeah. I can see him more with Simone, definitely over, sorry, Eleanor, I can definitely see him more with Simone because they're intellectually stimulating. You know what I mean? They seem like they were sitting there living room.
Sexy.
There you go. I didn't want to say it. Thank you. Like, I could see them eating cereal, like, getting a hard-on over, like, anatomy. I mean, over, like, I don't know, Aristotle.
I mean, everybody gets a hard-on over anatomy, technically.
No, I get you. That's totally true. That's true. But, yeah, I don't know.
And I like Michael being described as sexy librarian guy.
Exactly. That's the only time you'll ever get that title, I think, is in this episode. Sexy librarian, you know. That was fun, too. When he comes to Jason, and he goes to Chidi.
He goes to Chidi and to Eleanor. When he goes to Eleanor, though, that is when what we saw already. That's what we saw in last season. Yeah, when he was at the bar. So the new stuff that we're getting is the Chidi, Tahani, and Jason.
We get to see them now.
Flashback. Yeah.
Eleanor
and Michael come down with all of his weird names. Gordon Indigo, Charles Brainman, Zach Pizzazz.
That was my favorite.
I love these
Zach Pizzazz. But kind of finishing up a little bit on Chidi or whatever. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen with Chidi? You know, do you think that he's going to be now more decisive when the group gets back together? I mean, how do you feel about that?
This is the same thing. I mean, we go through the same circles with all of these guys. They all keep falling into their same pattern. So I feel like it is going to be the situation where Chidi is always put in these situations where he has to make these decisions. I think probably he is going to have to decide between Simone and Eleanor at some point.
Yes.
I feel like they have that pretty
set
up.
Jerry. I don't know if Michael's going to be Jerry on there, you know?
But I love, too, that we get the dynamic of Eleanor and Chidi as the philosopher and the student. Yeah, and I am really glad, too, because when I was rewatching the first two seasons, I went back just to kind of catch up because it's fun to go back knowing now what all the twists are. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, because I was like, well, when they first meet, Chidi is speaking French, and he's saying, well, the good place is that they translate it. So I was like, are they just going to take that out? Are they just not going to talk about that? Mm-hmm. They're like, don't worry, loyal fans. We got you. We're going to mention he not only speaks French, but also German and Greek and Latin in case it comes back.
Yeah. You're really good. He sure did say that. And he's from... They were saying how he's not necessarily from those places, but that's just the languages he speaks. So I was like, wow. You know, and as an American, how many languages can you speak? I don't know.
I speak a little Spanish and a little Italian, but not well at either.
Yeah, I'm kind of sort of Spanish. I don't know. It's Spanish on a good day. You know, depends how many cervezas I've had.
That's really all you need to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Una cerveza más.
Un patron, por favor, you know.
I love, too, that the way this show is broken up, too, that they have all the different chapters that we've seen all the way from chapter one, the very, very first episode. Yeah, now we're in, like, 28 and 29.
Yeah.
28 when we go to see Tahani, I think. Yes. It was 27 for Chidi. And then
29
Tahani,
is the last one.
Yeah, it's Jason. So, yeah, so genius. I just loved it. And then the same time, Sean... Mm-hmm. Everything that's going on in the bad place with him trying to infiltrate.
Yes, and he keeps making everyone a cocoon. Sean, that's not nice. You can't make everybody a caterpillar. And then I love how someone asked, and they were like, well, why did you do that? He kind of did what you want him to say. And he's like, because I'm a demon. And he kind of like at home, like, yeah, that makes sense. You know what I mean? He's supposed to do bad stuff. He's a demon. You know what I mean?
I love when Glenn walks in too and he has Duncan spiders. I'm like, yeah. Oh, the bad place. I love it.
It makes you want to go to hell. No. is this hell place on Hotwire? Can I go ahead and book a room there? You know what I mean?
So what do you think about Chidi's new thesis, too? Because he throws away his whole thesis, which was such a big deal. And now he's 100 pages into his new one, the near-death experiences.
That brings out, because how does it affect ethical decision-making? I think it's a good book. I think his books is reflecting his time and his life at the moment. So, like, the first one was Decide to Decide, right? And then the next one is Near-Death Experiences. But I kind of wonder, too, if Michael prompt that one or if he kind of had that one all on his own. I think Michael's playing Puppet Master so much, it's kind of hard to see which ones are their unique ideas versus which one Michael is kind of, like, putting a little seed and putting the dirt over and packing it down and just letting it, you know, letting it grow out, so...
I love it, though. I love all of the way that this ties in. And I love how it ties in with then Tahani coming to be one of the test subjects.
Did you see that coming? We can get right into Tahani next.
Yeah.
Tahani finds peace in a hopeless place. So basically, you know, we see Tahani, she pulls down the statue and she's about to get squished. And basically, they still gave it to Camilla. They was like, Camilla, your sister saved your life. And that, I mean, if anyone has siblings out there and the siblings are always winning, like, you should definitely, you know, pretty much kind of get along with Tahani. Like, this is crazy, right? Like, she can't win for losing. So she goes to the monastery and she tries to change her life. But as soon as she's there, the news crew people come out there and she's like, I want to be vain again. And so we see her writing a book and it's, you know.
I did think it was interesting that when she decides to shed all of her possessions and everything and go to this Buddhist monastery, that she ends up going and kind of being like the Buddhist monk that her soulmate was supposed to be. I really liked that tied in, that it was like if she was going to be a Buddhist instead of Jason's character. I thought that was a really nice little tie-in.
That's a great catch. That's a great catch.
Yeah, I was like, that's so clever that it's her version of Jianyu.
Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see if they start remembering some of their time in The Good Place or whatever. That would be a great tie-in. Listen, guys, if you haven't finished writing the season, we're going to give you that one for free. That would be an amazing... like callback if that's why she chose to be in the monastery.
I just love too having a bestseller book called Get Out of the Spotlight that you're like $2 million. Yes.
And she's in the spotlight. Good. And Michael's like, hey, I love what you're doing. Let's paint some golf ball silver and say that they're trying to correct your zen and all this stuff.
Your Nirvana orbs.
You know? And let's fix your mojo, basically. And she's like, wait, huh? I'm still vain? And then all of a sudden we see her later on come back to Chidi. So
that's the thing that I love about these characters and what makes them so relatable is that none of them are inherently bad. They're not trying to do anything negative to other people. They want to be good. They're just misguided. So it's like the whole thing when Chidi's like, my brain's broken. And they're like, no, your brain's fine. You're just making poor decisions.
Yep.
And same thing with Tahani. It's like, you know, she didn't realize that this was her being vain. It was her accidentally slipping in and Michael pointing it out to her. Her first question when she's asked to do the study is, will this help people?
Exactly.
And so I feel like ultimately that's what it should all go back to, is that if their underlying message, if their goal of each of these people is to help other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they all should go to the good place.
Then they're good.
Yeah. And also in their defense too, there's other things making them mess up. It's not just them.
That's just life, man.
Oh, yeah. I know. Somebody else made me did it, you know.
But everybody being mean to me is what made me such a B word.
Yeah. You can say it.
A condescending bench. We're in the good place. It's bench. Mm-hmm. It changes bench. Our bad words.
And what was it? Frog? What was it? The word Eleanor kept saying. She's like, fruck is a frog. Anyways.
Fork.
Fudge. A fork. Fork.
The fork in good place.
Yeah, yeah. And then when she went to hell and she could actually say the real word, she's like, wait, I can really say this now? Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. I just like bad curse word puns. But yeah, so we have Tahani, you know what I mean? And she's trying to find the peace. And like you said, she just, no matter what, she just keeps falling back. And after that, we get to Jason. Jason pop locks and drops it, but he needs to stop it. But I actually think Jason's a pretty good dancer. What do you think?
Jason is a good dancer. That's his go-to thing. It's his, like, dance battles. But I love that Michael is literally setting out signs for everybody, the subtle signs. Mm-hmm. For Jason, he gets an actual literal sign that says, change your life, go to Jacksonville State College. Immediately and passes by thing, and is yeah. like, dance crew.
And he's like, that's the poster you see, basically. And he's like,
funny. I love Jason.
He's so dumb.
He's so perfectly dumb, though.
He's so dumb.
He's like, brilliantly dumb. I love it. Let's eat, breathe, and vape dance.
Yeah.
Like, so good.
He's passionate, though. Jason has that type of personality that if he does put his mind towards something, he can do it.
Yeah.
He's kind of slow a little bit, but he can.
A 40-person dance crew. His delivery, too. I'm just like, effortless. Manny's effortless. Delivery. Oh, my gosh. So good. He's such a good actor. Yeah, I absolutely loved it. And I love that Janet, when she's asking about it, she's like, how's Jason? Is he still cute?
Yeah. I don't even see how that even works out. Janet and Jason. I don't get it. But
I love it. I love Janet and Jason. She knows everything. He knows nothing. But they both compliment each other because he's able to teach her emotions and humanity. I love it. That's the opposite.
Now, do you like them more than you like Simone and Chidi?
You know, I think I do only because I feel like I want Eleanor and Chidi to get together. I just have it so ingrained in me that I'm like, all right, I'm sorry, Simone. You weren't introduced season one, so I don't have an emotional connection to you. I think you're great, but...
We don't know you yet.
Yeah.
We don't know. You have to pump your brakes, Simone.
We've seen like 400 iterations of these two getting together. Mm-hmm. You're new.
Team Elanidi. We'll is it Elanidi or
Chilinor? Chilinor. I don't know. Either way. I like it.
Team Chilinor. yeah, that's crazy. Let's see. And then also when it comes to Jason, he also has the same thing where he does try hard and just life just kicks in. How did you feel when he started doing the dance competitions and they never won, not one dance competition?
You know, I wasn't surprised at all, but I just love how brilliant the show is. My favorite part of the whole dance competition crew was just the little offside at the beginning where it was like, if you own this car with a Got MILF license plate, your car exploded. Next time, I'm like,
and then coming to the stage.
That's what I'm like, the deadpan delivery of anything that is Jason related, I'm all about. So, nice. And then just being like, you're disqualified. You have 40 people on stage. The limit's 8.
And Donkey Doug quits doing the audition or the rehearsal. But then all of a sudden he comes back to break into a car.
God.
Just small little.
All the lines that Jason delivers too. When he's like, okay, so we're out of rent money. You know the thing I said about no more crime?
Go for it.
That's over. Mm-hmm. Go do crime.
Yeah. And then I love how he's with the security guard and he's talking to her or whatever. And he's basically hitting on her and he confesses to the crime. She's like, he confesses, like,
so good. So good.
Jason. Yeah, I guess you could. You could be with a Jason.
Jason is the reason, though, that Michael almost got caught. Because he was spending so much time there that when the judge walked in, she almost caught Michael being gone. So I'm like, okay, Jason, you're very cute, but like, get a little quicker.
Yeah. I don't think it's possible for him, though.
Close calls left and right.
And you know how we talk about how third time's a charm? Michael goes back on his third time, and that's how he opens up the gate for Sean. I was like, for Sean to get the back door into the system to see what the judge's back door system to see what the four on earth is doing. So what do you think about that? How did you feel that moment when you're like, oh,
you
no?
You know, I thought that they were going to send... that Sean himself was going to go. So I was interested to see Trevor
just
popping in.
Caterpillar like, everybody.
Yeah, boom, boom, boom. I mean, this show is so perfect about the last scene is always a cliffhanger where you're like, wait, what? Every single episode. Every episode. So this one, I'm like, I can't wait until next week when Trevor is coming in here wreaking havoc and seeing how that's going to tie in and how Jason is going to work in with the group. If they're gonna,
Michael's
if he's
gonna
be
able, back.
Yeah, I'm like, there has to be. Luckily, he gave the thermos with the frog to the doorman. I think that's gonna help him out.
Okay.
I think that's gonna help him out. He was real excited about that.
Because I think he gave the letter back and was like, yeah, I won't need this anymore. Ah, did my job. But the twist is, obviously, that Trevor's there and he's like, oh my goodness. You know, things about to hit the fan. And Janet's just sitting there, you know, with her stoic face. And she's like, you know, today is Wednesday. Like, she's so, you know. Sometimes not very emotional, you know what I mean?
Oh, well, obviously.
Yeah, because she's a robot, I guess. Literally a robot. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting how Third time was a charm. He went back, and that's when everything hits the fan.
Yeah.
So,
no. There's a whole, this whole episode I thought was just absolutely brilliant. Uh-huh. But which of the three storylines do you think that you're latching on to so far?
Ooh, I think I am team. I think I agree with you. I'm team Jason. Anytime he's on, I know I have a good laugh coming. Between Michael and Jason, they have the best, like, the best, I don't want to say best puns, but they have the best situations where you're like, oh my God, this is about to be crazy. You know what I mean?
I love it.
And Chidi, he frustrates me. I am an indecisive person. So when I see Chidi and he can't make decisions over blue and green, I get anxiety like, oh, you know? So I would definitely say Jason.
Yeah, I'm into it. I just love, like, all... It's so hard to pick because they're all so good. Mm-hmm. And just the subtleties of everything, of, like, Chidi getting a billion books and one of them. He's like, maybe I'll figure out, you know, the meaning of life in Tay Zonday's book, Chocolate Book. I'm like, man, I hadn't thought about Chocolate Rain in a hot minute. I'm all about it.
Hilarious. Hilarious. I mean, I don't know. Just every situation they put him in is just, like, magical. It's like, wow, that's the perfect... It kind of makes sense, you know, how everyone has their theme that they deal with. Everyone has their little weak spot, right? So for this, the characters are so well written, and they're so tailored made to, you know, what their angst are, right? That it's just, I feel like it's almost easy to write for them. You put Chidi at a stoplight, and all of a sudden he has to choose between going and stopping. He's out of there. You know, you put
the stoplight
Jason
is the only time he's happy, though, because it tells him what to do. It's when he has to make a decision that he's like, meh.
Yeah, well, stoplight with all the lights on, okay. You know, like red, yellow, and green. And he's sitting there like...
he just loses it. He just passes out.
Basically.
Yeah, I love it, too, that they have the back and forth of Chidi and all of his accomplishments. And then Eleanor, like, I took a BuzzFeed quiz of all of the slang terms of the Kardashians.
She's a horrible person. You're a horrible person.
No. Zonkatronic.
She's a horrible person.
I'm going to start saying Zonkatronic now.
Yeah. So, yeah, so she's a... We find out that Eleanor is an expert on everything Kardashian. Kardashian slang.
Kinda. She cheated.
Think so?
She said she cheated.
Oh, okay.
She cheated even on the BuzzFeed quiz.
Eleanor. Oh, Eleanor. But I do believe her with Chidi is definitely something that makes them better. For sure, for sure. Okay, guys. We're going to get into a little bit of the special segment.
All right. Do you want to start with our Chalk It Up to
Chidi? I was waiting for the music. I was waiting.
Oh, we don't really have music for the special segments, but we got... Chalk It Up to Chidi is a little segment that we're bringing out our own virtual chalkboard to kind of talk about some of the philosophy, because this whole show is centered around moral philosophy and Chidi being a moral philosopher.
Mm-hmm. So you can take the test at home and see how good of a person you are.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see. Total up your own points throughout your life.
Which you end up in the good place or the... Which is not that bad if you think about it, according to this show.
So T.M. Scanlon, they reference him in this episode. He wrote a book in 1998 that was called What Do We Owe Each Other? Mm. A lot of moral philosophers have referenced this book because it talks about some of Hobbes' teaching with contractualism versus utilitarianism. These sound like crazy, ridiculous words. I know, you're like,
this is,
what?
This is for these guys.
Yeah.
I of course, know. I know. But
contractualism, utilitarianism is, we'll kind of talk about that in some other episodes. It's kind of the idea of necessity and how that affects like the spin out. Contractualism, though, is really what Scanlon was known for and his idea with the various forms of contractualism. Basically say, Hobbes... teachings was that there was a mutual self-interest. You enter into a contract with another person. Your actions are contractually obligated to fulfill this contract that you enter into.
So wait, it's person to person?
It's everybody has a contract with all... You have, as a person, have a contract with society. You have a contract with other people. So it's an individual on a microcosm basis of individuals and then also society as a whole. And it's intrinsically what you're owed and what you owe other people. So it's the idea of this mutual self-interest being reflected in a contract of... not just the idea of is something inherently good or evil or good or wrong, right or wrong, based on just having that intrinsic property, or is it based on what we kind of assign to it? Oh. So is it based on the situation? Is it how we interpret it? Or is there a true right or wrong? And his argument, and his argument is basically that it's that you enter into this contract, and that's where the term contractualism comes from. So,
but what's that contract though?
That's so vague. Is basically, well, it's saying that you enter into a contract with society. You have obligations that you have to fulfill. There are certain things. It's almost like a an idea of like a compromise, kind of, where there are certain things that you have a moral obligation to do,
like. Just do good, right? I mean,
right. It's so in certain situations, it's what is going to fulfill that contract. Wow. So your decision, whereas Chidi is crippled by his decisions because he's contemplating all of these different philosophers' ideas and how they go into it, whereas most people are able to just kind of make a snap decision based on what's been fed to them and what they've decided to be, and kind of how they choose to live their life. This, I think, is going to tie back in. For how they relate to each other, because it's now a contract that Chidi has entered into with his students, with Eleanor and now Trevor and Tahani, but it's also the contract they have with each other to kind of intrinsically help each other.
And what was the name of the author again for the...
So that is T.M. Scanlon. In case you guys want to check it out. Yes, Thomas Scanlon, or T.M. Scanlon, 1998, What Do We Owe Each Other is the name of the book.
I feel like it's... Do-do-do-do-do.
And I was very proud that I picked up on that book when they mentioned it very briefly, so...
I got you.
What she said. I also picked up on a chocolate book, though. So it's like, well, you know, we could just talk about Chocolate Rain, the book, but...
Yeah, no, that was a lot more informational. No, that was a lot more informative.
Which, actually, the Chocolate Rain book ties into a little bit of our next segment, which is kind of a behind-the-scenes thing in our news... Well, as part of our news and gossip.
Yeah. We have Hot of the Press, guys. I promise you guys a little special treat. And we have actual photos. It's a video, too, right?
This is just photos that I took, yeah.
Yeah, so tell them about it. She works at Universal.
Yeah, I work at Universal. So talking about Chocolate Book, they have a store in The Good Place. This is the production design that they didn't actually show very much, but it's called All Chocolate Everything, which is supposed to be a store that's just everything chocolate. This is kind of a production designer's sick joke, I think. Those are the hidden bathrooms on the back lot that are called All Chocolate Everything.
Aww. Like, oh, yeah. I would rather, like, all lemonade everything. All chocolate.
But the store across the street, too, is called Everything Fit. So I'm like, all right, well, that works out. If you're going to have All Chocolate Everything, at least everything will fit after you eat all that chocolate.
There you go. You guys have to stay tuned. We're going to get some more photos in here. Just actual photos. Some photos did not actually make it to air. So we're going to show you, you know, what it looks like
all the time.
That's
where I go jogging. I go jogging through the back lot as my working out, because I don't go to real gym, because we saw how it worked out for Henry and I'm not doing that. But I'll jog through the back lot to look at all the cool stuff. There's so many yogurt places. My favorite, talking about puns on here, they have one called My Big Non-Fat Greek Frozen Yogurt. Yeah, we'll take lots of pictures. We'll send them out to you guys.
You have to.
We have one, too, inside of the soundstage as well. Here's a little collage of some photos we have.
There it is.
Yeah, so the production designers, shout out to the production designers. They're absolutely phenomenal. That's their set decoration book. The inside of the set that shows the exterior of Eleanor's house and them constructing it. And then, of course... Me with
Who is that lady?
Forsett.
Who's that hottie?
Who's that lady?
Who's that lady?
But yeah, I had to get my picture with Doug.
Yeah.
Who guessed.
I love how you look off screen. Just like, oh. You know, like you're just gazing upon him.
Yeah, you gotta make the Doug face. You gotta make the same face as Doug. I'm all about it. But...
Nice. And that's the older script from...
Yeah, that's last season. So they've been out. I didn't want to post... They've changed the set a couple bits. So I didn't want to post anything that could potentially be a spoiler.
True. That makes sense. She also got some photos of people's license plate and everything like that. But
yeah, I was like, I'm not going to put, like,
we're scared she's going to be like, be like a stalker. Stuff, you know what I mean? But yeah, dope. Thank you so much. That's so cool. I can't wait to see any more pictures you have, preferably of maybe Ted dancing, you know, in the shower.
Hey, if I had those.
See him in the, see the hot librarian and you know.
The hot librarian in action.
Yeah, don't judge me. I have a senior crush, guys. Don't judge me. And then also in our news and gossip, Manny, I'm going to butcher this name, hopefully not, Jacinto. I don't know if you guys really, how you guys love, I'm sure you guys love Jason, right? He plays Jason. His real name is Manny Jacinto. According to Deadline, okay, he will be in Top Gun, Maverick. There's going to be a reboot of Top Gun with Tom Cruise coming out soon. The remake was of 1986, the hit Top Gun with Tom Cruise and a few other people that you love, or a lot of people that you love. And he's going to be playing Fritz, a pilot.
All right.
And hopefully he has more common sense in this one. We don't want to see our pilots being dummy. But yeah, it's he was...
Congratulations, yeah. Manny. Yay!
He's also going to be featured at in Bad Times at the El Royale opposite Chris Hemsworth. All right, ladies.
And fellas,
I guess. And on October 12th. He's just doing really well. He's blowing up.
I love Manny. Yay! Top Gun. Top Gun. Huge. That's top. I love it. Now, Darcy, Darcy Carden, who plays Janet, who is Jason's weird
robot,
on again, off again lover
robot fetish,
kind of
yeah.
thing. I don't know. Yeah. She mentioned, too, that she was talking to Michael Schur, who mm-hmm. created the show and a whole bunch of other amazing shows, and he's already told her and Manny the ending. So they know the ending of this season. But I don't think anybody else does. She, however, was playing coy in the interview, though, where they were like, so what happens? She's like, I forgot. I don't remember what happens.
Nice.
And it's like, all right, Darcy, we know that you're lying. You definitely know what happens. But I'm interested because if those two characters specifically know, mm-hmm. it makes me think that something's going to happen.
I feel like if everyone knows or if they know and they feel like someone's going to be telling something, it's going to change.
It's such a psych out,
like,
too, because Michael Schur, there was the video that they posted of the first season of The Good Place. Mm-hmm. None of the actors knew the twist. And so there's a video of all of them reading it, like, together in a room, being like,
yeah.
What? So, we'll see.
I was there for that reading. Because when I saw it play out on camera, I was like, what? But then
Amazing.
It made sense. It did make sense. So it's
We'll post that, like, little video. We'll find it. We'll put it on Twitter for you guys.
We got it all for you guys here. We got you. We totally got you. Like, this is The Good Place to find out things about The Good Place, right? that was amazing. I didn't see that coming at all. But that also raises the idea that people say, like, Earth now, or, you know, where we are now is like the real hell because of all the different things that happen. But I'm not going to go there.
Well, do you want to dive into some predictions?
Yeah, let's get into predictions. Oh, we got a...
And now, you're After Buzz TV.
I don't know why the predictions are always, like, sci-fi-ish. It's always a little bit creepy.
Because some fans have actually said that they're predicting that there may be a twist that Earth is the bad place. That when they go back to Earth, they're actually going to the real bad place. I think they're actually on Earth.
Yes. So shoot out to me. What are some of your predictions on Chidi, Tahani, Jason, Eleanor?
This is what's so difficult about the show, because I thought that I predicted everything right on this show every single season, and I've always been wrong. I've been wrong every single time. So
you thought it was The Good Place.
I thought it was
The Bad Place.
I thought that, like, all the twists that I thought that were going to happen did not happen. I thought that the twist was going to be that it was Chidi who was actually making everything happen. And it wasn't he was a demon, but he was the one who was not supposed to be there. That was what was making everything off.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, totally different twist. Yeah. So, I feel like ultimately they're going to set up where Chidi has to decide between these two ladies.
Of course.
But I don't think that's going to be for a long time.
Yeah.
I think this next one, because we have Trevor coming in to mess with everything, I think we're probably going to have more of a focus of trying to get the four united. Because that was Michael's big goal, was to get the four of them together. Because he's like, as long as we can get these four together, then they'll figure it out. It's their connections with each other, which also ties into the contractualism, where it's like them being together, them interacting with each other is what ultimately is...
It's like sci-fi action going on. Talking about, like, the afterlife and everything starting moving. I don't know. The lights need to stay still.
Ultimately, that's going to be what is the goal, is to get all of these guys together. And Trevor throwing the wrench in the mix by showing up is going to mess with it. I do, however, think at some point, Janet, who has been the one who's been standing kind of
a little bit
back and been like, okay, Michael, you're going to get caught. Don't rock the boat.
Yeah.
You're pissing off Mom, aka Judge,
and he's Daddy. Daddy.
Which, okay, librarian.
Telling you, Ted dancing in the shower. I got you guys. I know what you want.
The real good place. Mm-hmm. So I think that what's going to happen, though, is at some point Jason's going to get in a situation that he's in a pickle, and Janet's going to change her tune, and she's going to go to Earth and be like, "Nah, I got to save my man."
Interesting. I think so. She's going to have to go. I agree with you. Michael's going to have to definitely go back again. And Janet's going to go back. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know about Janet, but that would be good.
Not going to go back. I think Janet's going to go.
Yeah, that'll be good. My prediction is something's going to happen with the frog, the key. Because they
forget
built up the
about
key.
It.
They. Sorry. It's okay. Just don't frog it up. That was a leap of faith. Okay. what was I about to say? I totally...
Sorry.
the bad puns went boom.
Something's going to happen with
the frog. Yeah, I think something's going to happen with the keys. So, because they built up the key too much, how it was made from the atoms from the beginning of the earth, and the key is so special. Do not duplicate. And he never gave him the key. So I feel as though... something's going to happen where Michael takes the key. Like, the doorman's not going to let him out anymore, so he's going to take the key. And maybe we're going to get another demon going to pop up there and control Earth. Like, everyone on Earth is doing horrible things. They're stealing cars. They're, you know, adultery.
That would be,
you know, all the things they're doing now in America. But but times 10. That's what I think.
Ooh, I
one
like
of the
that
demons
theory.
Gonna get the key.
I think you're definitely right about the key playing in because, mm-hmm. like, the whole, I mean, this show is so well written, and there's that whole writer philosophy.
Yeah,
is like, if you show a gun in act one, it better go off in act three.
Have to shoot someone.
So it's like, if you're going to show this key at the very first episode, it's clearly going to be a key to what's going to happen. A key point.
I didn't see that one coming. Totally. Boom, didn't see it coming, but I loved it.
I'll lock it up.
Oh! Oh, man, I want to do one so bad, but my brain is not moving fast enough. Oh, my God. I'm still thinking about it, but okay, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to catch the next one. But yeah, I
do like that they set up the frog, though, so now at any point in this after show, if one of us starts coughing, we can just say, we have a frog in our throat, and then it's a relevant pun.
There you go. Still don't have one. It was at the tip of my tongue. I was ready for it, but it didn't get out there. You know what I mean? Yeah, still ain't there. But yeah, I love it.
We'll get out a good frog pun before we croak.
She can do this all day. So before we're going to have a special segment, and we're just going to go rapid fire for 60 minutes. I mean, for 60 seconds, and you just go boom, 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 because... oh my gosh, she's talent. This is talent, guys. This is talent. So we just want to thank you guys so much for watching the show. Tell them where they can find you.
Elena? Okay, you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And you can catch me here doing a bunch of shows for AfterBuzz and Popcorn Buzz. Talk.
Boom. Nice. And I'm Funny Sarai on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook as just Sarai Comedian. And also, I'm doing a show right after this, actually. Empire. For the Empire.
Oh, nice.
Coming up at 7 o'clock right here at AfterBuzz TV. But until then, oh, and also our regular host, Taylor Gates, is not here right now. Yeah. But she will be back hosting, lead hosting next week. And we're super excited to have you back. But until then, you know, stay in the good place.
Our founder, bye. Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.